Welcome to today's edition of the Rush 24/7 podcast.
Always an absolute honor to fill in for the great Rush Limbaugh. I had an opportunity yesterday to drive across my state, listen to Mark Stein sit in for Rush. I know Ken is going to be up next, I think, tomorrow. And man, it's an incredible thing to watch what came off of a day of prayer. And as I'm reflecting upon the actions that the President of the United States has taken and Vice President Pence, and I mean, as we sit here this moment, there is breaking news. The president, according to the governor of New York, President Trump is dispatching a hospital ship to New York because Cuomo said that, hey, we need to bring the Army Corps of Engineers in to build hospitals. And I think the president just went one better. So how about if we bring one of the most advanced hospitals in the world off your shores, and you can bring people on there who are suffering from the Wuhan flu? And I am going to call it that because China doesn't want us to, because the media is repeating, you know, propaganda points from the Chinese. But you look at this day of prayer that began something that I think is remarkable. And there's things to be debated, because there's another piece of breaking news. April 6th, $500 billion is going to be released into the economy. We could debate that. We could go through the policy details. Maybe that should be done through unemployment. Is there going to be means testing? And that, I think that's a conversation on this program for later. Frankly, I'd love to hear Rush's take on this. But what I noticed was this action coming off this day of prayer. And I say that for a reason. Because what the president did that I think is so remarkable compared to what other administrations have done is, number one, he did the day of prayer. Number two, coming off a day of prayer where you recognize a higher power, something greater than yourself, depending on your religious tradition, what the God you worship. Mine is, I worship the Christian God. And that's my tradition. And that's my deeply held belief. But I think that creates a different tone. So what you saw was a president address you and me and everyone in the nation as citizens, not subjects. He asked us to do things. He asked us to engage in some sacrifice, to homeschool, to stay out of restaurants and bars, as opposed to just banning them. Now, secondly, from a perspective of the federal government, I don't know that it's the president's job to go into a state and say, you will do this in Kansas, which is the same thing they're doing in New York, or I'm in the epicenter of this, and I'll get into this later in the show. You know, I've been spending time in northern Idaho, so I came back to my home of Seattle, which is the epicenter. I'll tell you some of the juxtapositions here because I think they're stark. But I'm going to bet that the president gets as much response from the American people in terms of staying out of restaurants and bars, going through the to-go windows. I bet you business owners are saying, okay, listen, we need to step in and help stop the spread of the virus. And I bet that's going to happen because the president treated us with respect. He spoke to us as human beings capable of understanding that we right now need to get out of the way of this thing so that the federal government and other first responders, etc., can do their jobs. I appreciated that. I saw something else. I saw the president gather the business community. And again, we can debate all the policies. We can debate, hey, do we say, hey, you can sell some stock, you can pay us back, etc. But I saw him gather them to say, look, I get it. There are rounds. There's the first rounds of layoffs are coming. And this is also breaking news. And it's going to be ugly. And I legitimately offer my prayers to you if you are on the list of people who are being laid off. I've been laid off. It sucks. It's horrible. So I legitimately offer my prayers to you. And we're going to stick together. You know, there's the $500 billion on the way. There's other things on the way. There's the deferral from the IRS. If you owe taxes, you don't have to pay it back for 90 days. No interest, no penalties. But I saw the president also bring business in to say, what can we do together? And I can't tell you what a stark differentiation that is to other states. And I spoke that I'm at the epicenter of this in Seattle. This is where this all started. It all started in one facility. And that's been the hot zone of the hot zone. It's an elder care center. But the governor in Washington State, Jay Inslee, he just announced on a Sunday night, all the businesses are closed, restaurants, bars, gyms, just closed. 2 weeks, that's it. I've talked to the business community. They didn't get even a phone call. And you know that this stuff is being considered. You know the president and his team have been considering these things. So this first step nationwide of the president to bring the business community in to treat us as adults has been phenomenal. And on the phones at 800-282-2882, I would love to hear you talk about your experience in your state. I would like to hear your response to the president's approach to this at 800-282-2882. I saw something else. That is that I saw a president immediately demand help for the working people of the country. So he brings in big business, he brings in Marriott, he brings in the cruise industries, he brings in the airlines, but his focus is squarely on the majority of society. His focus is on getting the economy back up, and I love this remark. I love this remark because it's optimism. It's also accurate. When we get through this, and we will get through this, because already, I'm starting to read about, you know, there's accelerated approach to arresting the virus, the vaccine. I'm reading about possible cures for the vaccine as companies and free market steps forward into this. Right? But I saw the president demand action for you. And again, being at the epicenter of this, I got to tell you, it's bizarre. I don't sense any Trump derangement syndrome. I think that the Wuhan flu, and more specifically, the president's response to this has actually eradicated temporarily the Wuhan flu at the hot zone of this. But that doesn't change the media. One thing to the media. For my friends and family who've been living under the threat of this in the Seattle area, you're not helping. Your constant drumbeat of negativity and doom and your merchandising of despair, it's not helping. And by the way, I think you may actually be losing moderate Democrats in this who are watching a president respond in these ways. And there's something else. I'd love to, on the phones today, hear from truck drivers because the president took an action that got almost no notice. Because the press has been busy doing Orange Man bad. The press has been busy saying, wait, you can't ban people from China. And then it's, wait, you didn't ban them soon enough. And you can't ban Europeans. And then ignoring the fact that the Canadians have closed their borders. They're too busy doing that to notice that one of the things the president did immediately was with our truck drivers. He did away with the regulation that slowed down your ability to drive multiple shifts. And A, I hope you're being safe. B, I wanted to be a truck driver for years. I just thought it looked like a great job, just seeing the country, being by myself, listening to music, and delivering goods. I want to hear from you guys, 800-282-2882, because now you're able to drive more shifts, and thank God that you're able to do that. Okay, the other thing that we saw, was we saw a president engage the private market. We saw a president get together with the pharmaceutical companies and say, what do I need to move? What do I need to get out of your way? What is the regulations that's slowing you down? And then to distribute the ability for other groups to do the testing. There is a phenomena called the cathedral versus the bazaar. Okay, the bazaar being like a shopping area or like a market. The cathedral is sort of the central way of dealing with it. We will put out the test kits. We will approve everything. That's very, very top down, right? And it's extremely inefficient. And I see instead the president opening up the marketplace of ideas. I understand that he had a conversation with Jeff Bezos. And, you know, speaking of Seattle, Bezos is no friend of the president, but I think he'd like to be a friend. I think he's learning it would be better to be a friend. And I think Bezos probably legitimately cares about the health of the country. Right? He's hiring 100,000 people. They had a conversation. That's the opening up of the conversation, the marketplace of ideas. So we're starting to see the results of this. And still, the media lags behind in having any form of respect for what's being done. And when they do have respect, it's because they're drug into it. I saw this. This was incredible. Steve Mnuchin is a very, very wealthy guy, very successful man, has a whole bunch of money. And I see him talking about the importance of fast food. I had a debate with a guy online when they shut down the restaurants without warning people, without giving advance notice. Without talking it out, without saying this could be a possibility, without engaging industry, right? When they did that, to see Steve Mnuchin mentioned the importance of fast food. I thought, wait, how's he know this? I mean, when was the last time he needed a dollar cheeseburger? Have you been there? I have lived the lifestyle of I've got $1 or $2. And we had a thing in Seattle called the Bag of Dags. You could go get to 24 disgusting hamburgers for like $1. But you feed yourself whatever it was that you were eating and you cured your hunger. I see Mnuchin mention the importance of fast food to feeding people and then even go to their apps and mention that. So the juxtaposition is this. at the epicenter of this of this virus in Seattle, we had a governor who did the right thing scientifically, in my judgment, and he didn't consult anybody. They just slammed the gates on a Sunday night, and businesses were surprised. Then there's also this. And you're going to see this on the West Coast. You're going to see this. I'd love to know if you're seeing this in New York. The citizens who pay the taxes, live in the houses, who are going to be put out of work, they're getting help. The president's announcing this. But they're being asked to change their behaviors, and they are changing their behaviors. Right? So with that, the homeless camps in New York City, on the West Coast, in San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, down in Austin, Texas. I know you guys are engaging in this incredible tent city experiment, right? You're doing that as well. They are not being asked or told or forced to change their behaviors at all. So when we talk about two Americas, talk about that, because God forbid those camps, people in those camps get this virus because their immune systems are already out of whack. The president is doing a great job. I'd like to hear what's going on in your part of America at 800-282-2882. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. So Congressman Louie Gohmert's being blamed for slowing up legislation to help in the situation. He's going to join us on Rush's program coming up about 10 minutes, 12 minutes or so. You'll hear that right here to explain why he's doing that. The front lines, you got people. I saw the most amazing front line thing in relation to the Wuhan flu. It's just starting to hit where I've been living, Idaho, just beginning. And I saw a young woman, probably 15 years old, working in a grocery store. Someone had spilled some juice. It's right by the front entrance to the store. Very cold. Wind's blowing in. She's down on her knees. She's cleaning this up. And I walked, I saw, she just looked so sad. I said, that looks like tough duty today. It's cold. And she had tears in her eyes. She said, I've been here for 14 hours, so it's a little tough, but it's okay. This is what I'm doing. And from that, at 14 hours, I mean, that's tough when you're 14, 15 years old. I know about the first responders. We have police officers who are getting this illness. We have firefighters, doctors, some of them in intensive care. I've seen this. And then there's also people who are literally, legitimately keeping this country going, legitimately keeping this country going. The president did something to relax regulations on truckers. Anything you see in the store is, well, 70% of it is getting there via truck. Brian joins us from Austin, Texas. He is a truck driver. Brian, what's going on out there in the world of truck drivers and this deregulation the president's brought about?
Well, we're busy, but, you know, the president did deregulate everything, but the companies have not.
Really?
Now, I'm an independent contractor. Yeah. But I still haul for a company, and, you know, I'm only allowed to drive 11 hours a day in a 14-hour period.
Would you go more if you could? Is it how dangerous is it? Would you go more if you could during this period of time to help the country?
Yes, I would. And most truck drivers that have any experience at all, they know when you're tired, pull over and go to sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
We're the safest people on the road.
I know that, man. I got buddies who are truck drivers. They can't stand some of the things people do because you can't stop those things. So the company's not caught up with these regulations. Do you want them to catch up?
They know about them. We got a message over it saying we won't be doing this at the moment. You know.
Yeah.
So. We're not allowed to do it. All the truck drivers today are on electronic logging devices.
Right.
So, you know, they know exactly where the truck is, how fast it's going, how many hours and seconds you've drove, you know. So it really, you know, is a tight regulated industry. But, yeah, we're not allowed to do it yet. And I do haul a lot of stuff to Walmart and Sam's distributions. I go from Laredo to Dallas and back. You know, that's the route I'm on. But,
yep.
You know, I haul a lot of groceries and stuff back.
Well, I want to thank you for what you're doing. I want to thank you for the information. I wish the companies would catch up a little bit of this, Brian. Thank you very much for the phone call. That tech, though, by the way, that Brian's mentioning, that's coming to your car. In fact, it's in a lot of the new cars, a lot of the new SUVs. You don't know this, but it has the ability to track you now. And by the way, very conveniently to send that to your insurance companies and send that to your states, you know, patrol, etc. So you can be very conveniently ticketed when they've determined via computer that you shouldn't have braked that hard or you made an aggressive turn. Tom in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program, also a truck driver. Hey, Tom, welcome to the program.
Hey, you know, these hours doesn't really matter right now. We can go with the old regulation for right now because all we're hauling, all of us are hauling, is domestic loads. Once the boats come in from Southeast Asia and from Europe, we're going to need all the hours we can get, and then they can make that change, and then the companies can catch up because there's going to be a lot of product that's going to be coming into this country. I mean, I'm staying busy just with domestic loads. But once the international loads come in, we're going to need to be able to drive more. We're going to need to be able to work more during the day. And
yep.
The companies will have to catch up at that point.
So you want the companies to open up to go with the new regulations the president has declared. He's waived these regulations. So if they don't do this, we're going to have product backed up on the docks and not being able to get into the store. Is that what you're saying?
No, actually, we're good with the regulations the way they are right now. When he needs to increase them is when the international loads start coming back into the country.
Got it.
We're all just doing domestic loads right now.
That's what I'm saying. So when the international comes, I got it. Okay, see, this is why we need to talk truck drivers. No one knows this business but truck drivers. Thank you very much for the phone call, Tom. Stay safe out there, and God bless you for keeping the country rolling. There are people in other industries, and I would love to hear from you. If you're on the front lines in any way at 800-282-2882, what are you doing to keep the country moving? Because this doesn't happen without that full participation. I've seen something remarkable, and maybe you've seen this in your hometown. We were talking about how do you help small businesses that are shut down, that they can't do the work they normally do. We tossed out this idea of gift cards. Everybody go to your favorite restaurant, your favorite cafe. Mike Momo was talking about donut shops. Mike's with EIB. Go find your favorite donut shop. Go find your favorite coffee shop and buy a whole ton of gift cards. You know, estimate the amount of time you'd normally go there. Let them sit on that money. And when they're back in business, go cash in the gift cards. These are things that you could do right now in your community. Coming along behind what the president said is that we all have to sacrifice and that no one is sacrificing more than business owners because they don't get, right? There's the checks coming for the American people. There's the unemployment assistance. There's the waiver of the interest on the college loans. There's the waiver on the IRS debt. All of these actions aimed at people working. The business owners, with the risks they take, they've got inventory waiting. They've got agreements to pay rent and leases, and they've got agreements to pay utilities. So what we can do is go buy these gift cards from these businesses. And what I saw in my hometown when I pulled in last night, I went by my favorite ice cream shop. I said, I'm going to go buy a bunch of gift cards. You do it at the drive-thru window. They're out. They're out of gift cards because people have already done this to keep these guys afloat. So we can all play this role in this. What to compare the people on the front lines moving the economy forward. Just take this comparison. Do you know what the focus of the legal analyst at MSNBC is? There's a legal analyst there. We'll get into this in detail later. His focus is how can he criminally charge for negligent homicide? How can he criminally charge the president of the United States? And he admits he's always looking for novel ways to employ homicide laws against people. Compare that to truck drivers and nurses and doctors. Louis Gohmert joins us next on the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman filling in on the EIB network. Ken Matthews will be in tomorrow. Rush Limbaugh will be back where he belongs, where this nation needs him on Friday. I bring you up a little later. I'm going to tell you what Hillary Clinton just said. Oh, do you care? Listen to this. The president is turning to racist rhetoric to distract from his failures to take the coronavirus seriously early on. Blah, 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 blah. Don't fall for it. You know, Hillary, something that we're going to point out just real quick is we don't know if when you type that, you're typing it with your notion of what an African-American accent sounds like or voice, an African-American voice. We don't know. Maybe that's in your head. because you were the one who goes out and panders constantly in a racist way. Incredible. Congressman Louis Gohmert joins us on the Rush Limbaugh program. Congressman, welcome to Rush's show.
Hey, great to be talking to you again, Todd. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Good to talk to you again. The New York Post, some people kind of putting you in the blame seat, saying that you are slowing down legislation that would help the American people. And from what I understand, what you've seen in it are a ton of technical errors because no one's reading this stuff. So tell Rush's audience about this, Congressman.
Well, it wasn't just a matter of technical errors. There are disasters in that bill, and they would end up costing people jobs. And amazing, this is a Democrat bill. The Democrats have the majority in the House. That, you know, they put it together. There was discussion with Mnuchin and all, but they go after small businesses. You know, under Obamacare, they exempted every business with less than 50 employees. And this, they only go after businesses with less than 500 employees. The big corporations, the ones with the biggest, most lavish lobbyists, they exempted those. That's the Democrats. They exempted all the big business. Their defense, well, you know, a lot of them are already doing what we're trying to do here. But the trouble is, when we're talking about really small businesses, even if the government reimburses them for paying people not to work, they are going to be in desperate, well, some of them already are in desperate situations as far as making their rental payment, their other standard monthly payments. So this bill didn't really address it, but the good thing is, and I'm being sarcastic, a lot more government, more intrusion from the Department of Labor, Department of Treasury, monitoring, checking, you know.
Yeah.
It is the opportunity that the crisis, this is what the Democrats, the way they look at it, it gives them a chance to get more government involved. And so anyway, it's just amazing. You're going after small businesses. Now, there were versions that began changing on Thursday and all day Friday. We were supposed to have voted Thursday, held over Friday. And then we finally got what was supposed to be the last draft about around 9 p.m. I read that, 108 pages, and made my notes and whatnot. And then right before midnight on Friday, we get a 110-page version. I didn't have time to read because we started voting before I could read it, before I could do a side-by-side. I don't see how any member of Congress could have read the bill that we rushed to the floor about 12:30 Saturday morning and voted on, finished like 1 a.m., and so over the weekend, the Democrats were working on what they call technical corrections, because you're allowed to make technical corrections, even though we've seen very substantial changes made called technical corrections. And the way they normally get those in, when nobody's around, a speaker takes the chair, somebody on the floor says, I ask unanimous consent that we include all these technical corrections as part of the bill, in this case, 6201, that we passed Saturday morning. And then the speaker's line is, without objection, so ordered. And so when we heard that they were going to do a UC of 46 pages of changes that weren't just technical corrections, then I left home at 3 a.m., got to Washington at 10 before they went in session 11. Immediately people start freaking out because I'm at the back of the House floor. Are you going to object? Well, they know they can't get it through because they would have to bring everybody else back to vote if somebody objects. And I said, yeah, we hadn't even seen the language. Todd, dirty little secret, they had not finished writing what they were calling technical corrections. And by the time they finished, and there was negotiation all day Monday, and people were coming to me, all right, what about this provision? And they wouldn't change some of the worst stuff as far as, in my opinion, and economic experts of hurting our small businesses. So some of that was in there. We did make some changes that would help make it easier to exempt businesses with less than 50 employees. But they didn't have the language even prepared that they were going to UC at 11 a.m., which creates another mantra for Pelosi. Everybody remembers we have to pass Obamacare so we
right.
can find out what's in
right.
it.
Right.
Well, this was more like we have got to pass these changes so that we can finish drafting them. They haven't finished drafting them. If I weren't there, apparently they were gonna have to keep working on them. They didn't have another speaker that could come in till around 6:30 or so that night because they were not expecting to do anything but go in, unanimous consent these things and be done. So this is the modern way to operate, and a crisis gives them cover. And the question is, if a tree falls in the woods and there's no Republican there to object, it doesn't get noted. It just goes right on. But anyway.
Yep. So, Congressman, let me ask this. Lou Gohmert's with us, congressman from Texas, went to the House floor to stop the Democrats from an incredible act of bamboozlement. And it was, I think it was Rahm Emanuel who authored the phrase, never let a good crisis go to waste, which he whispered into President Obama's ear. You know, I compare this for people this way, Congressman. I like to take your guys' world, because it's a unique world. Few people get to go work in Congress, and compare it to the real world. Tell me if this is accurate. Would this be pretty much like if your house, God forbid, had burned down and you get something from your insurance company and it says sign here and there's a whole page that says we'll fill this in later. But if you want your money, you got to sign here. Well, wait a minute. This says you'll be filled in later. You could write whatever you want here. Yeah, but that's what you get to get your money. Is that a real world example of what the Democrats tried to do to the American people at three o'clock in the morning and you went to stop? Does that match?
That does match. That correlates nicely. Yes, good example. Really good. It's nuts. The trouble is, though, if you sign and the insurance company is going to fill out the details later, that only screws you over.
Yeah.
But in this case, then here's the big difference. In this case, it affects everybody in the country. And really, if you look at what the president was proposing originally, like a tax holiday to help people, I know there were Democrats saying, but that's prejudiced against those that are out of work, and that's only helping your voters. Well, actually, if you think about it, and I know a lot of Democrats don't, but if you think about it, if you're receiving unemployment benefits or you're receiving welfare, you're receiving all the state and federal benefits for not working, you're not going to lose your check for not working. If you decide the next day I'm not going to work, no, those checks are still coming. You're still getting those. The people that have been temporarily laid off or told we got nobody coming in, we're closing for 30 days, those are the people that are in danger of not getting their checks. So why wouldn't you let, and of course I love the tax holiday idea, I proposed it as an alternative to TARP back in 2008, and the idea is not a dime taken out of your check, everything flows straight to you. And I know there's some people saying, well, if we just send out a $1,000 check to everybody today, then it'll go right to their mailbox immediately. Well, I don't know about where you are, but where I am, I sent out invitations to a reception January 24th, and most people had not gotten them 3 weeks later. So the better way would be, okay, your next check, all of the money's there, nothing is taken out. And, of course, I know there's a huge fear in Washington. There was when I brought it up in 2008. They're afraid that when the American people see how much money Washington sucks out of their check, that they're going to get upset and they're going to demand more accountability.
Yeah. Oh, well, we can't have more accountability. I've seen that happen where people suddenly figure out how much tax they're paying, and it is a dramatic moment. It's also maybe even a conversion moment. Hey, Congressman, thanks for getting on an airplane. Thanks for going and stopping this and coming on Rush's show. It's Louis Gohmert, Congressman from Texas. Godspeed, and keep protecting us back there, Congressman. We appreciate you coming on Rush's show.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
Yep. Coming up on the Rush Limbaugh program, Todd Herman filling in Joe Biden. He's going to be the nominee. The president has predicted that Bernie Sanders is going to step out of the race. Bernie says no. Maybe they should just redistribute the delegates. Bernie needs to make that charge. We'll get into the national political scene as we continue. Todd Herman in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB network. That's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh. Ken Matthews in tomorrow, and the day we've been waiting for, Rush returns to the golden EIB microphone on Friday, where the nation needs him. We need him. Talking about the front lines of the battle against the Wuhan flu, and we know about the first responders, the cops, and God keep you safe. And I mean it, because you guys interact with people who are really sick. But just across the country, people are keeping the country going. And wanted to just tap into that. We talked to truck drivers. They're obviously keeping the country going, but they don't get enough attention. Maria from Massapequa, New York, welcome to Rush Limbaugh's program. You have a unique view on this. Hi, Maria. Welcome to Rush's show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. You know, all this talk about the testing, but behind the scenes is the lab. Is the people in the lab that are running the tests for this coronavirus. And it's just, we're always there to do what needed to be done. And so you asked for who is the front lines. The lab is one of the people in the front lines. Sorry, that doesn't get much mention.
I want to stop you for a second. You sound really emotional about this.
Yeah, I am. I'm really passionate about the lab, and I'm really passionate about our profession.
Yeah.
And we're so important, so vital to what is being done.
Yeah.
So right here in New York, they have the new collecting stations. Yeah. They're just collecting the samples. Where are they going after that? They're going to the labs.
Yeah.
We're running the samples.
Yeah. And I bet it's working overtime. I got to believe you
So we've always I just wanted to shout out to the lab people that are doing the job that don't get the recognition for the important role that they're playing.
Let me go one further for you, Maria. Let's just do one thing. Okay. Rush has the biggest audience in the history of radio. It's about 22 million people. So everybody repeat after me. Thank you, lab people. Now, listen, you're going to feel that. You're going to feel that right now. Okay,
I appreciate it. It's so important to healthcare.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you. Godspeed. Stay healthy. Thanks for keeping America moving, Maria. We appreciate you very, very much. On the related topic, Rick from Allentown, Pennsylvania. I didn't think of this. Front lines, different sort of front line. Rick, welcome to Rush Limbaugh's program. It's Todd Herman filling in.
Hi, Todd. Great job filling in for Rush. Being a field service guy, Rush is the highlight of my day.
Yeah. I bet he is. He's mine, too.
Yeah.
So,
gotcha.
So talk about your... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, tell your frontline story.
All the doctors... Yeah, I was just talking about all the doctors' offices. We had called the Pennsylvania governor's office to find out if the copier industry is considered an essential business. And we were basically told no. However, our company is staying open due to all the machines that we have in doctors' offices and hospitals that need to then scan and transmit documents. And it's just we're going into these offices in and out all day long, and it is kind of an alarming fact that, you know, we don't know what we're coming across because we had tried to get our company to order, you know, different protective, like face masks and gloves, and all the suppliers are out of them.
Wow, I didn't think of this because, of course, you've got, you know, fill this form out in triplicate, etc. So you guys are on the front lines of this. See, this is the America we were talking about. This is the America where the president brought the businesses into his. I hope the president, I know he's obviously friends with Rush and respects Rush very much. I hope he'll hear this, that businesses like yours are on these front lines. That's an amazing story. Thank you, Rick, very much. I appreciate that. Please be well. Please be safe. Please give your people our thanks. I want to get real quickly to Brian in Portland, Maine. Brian, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. Give us a story real quick. Not to hurry you, but we're short up on a break here. So welcome to the show, Brian.
I realize. I just want to say something. I work for the United States Postal Service. We're out there every single day going to people's homes, confronting people in the front lines here for the people coming to us to give us their mail. And right now, the mail is incredible. It's getting more and more packages. You think about it.
Yeah.
People are doing things online. They're not doing things going to stores and stuff. Who's getting that? We're getting that. And who's delivering that? We are.
Yeah.
We're doing it. We're staying open. And the thing is this, we're an agency. We're a mainstay of the United States. We're going to be there forever. I'm not a spokesman. I'm just a supervisor for them. I just want to let people know we're there for you. We're going to be there for America. Because that's what it's all about. And we're there for the American people, and we're going to be there, we're going to be open, we're going to be there for you, and we thank you for letting us be there for you, and we appreciate being able to help you to do whatever it is, get your medicines there, all that.
Yeah.
We're doing it, and we thank you. Okay, I just want to let you know. I know you got to go. Have a great day.
No, listen. I want to tell one thing. I got to say one thing. I may have my disagreements with the USPS management in Washington, D.C. I've never met a mail carrier I don't love. I love it. I love it. Thank your people. Stay safe, Brian. God love you. I appreciate the phone call. See, this is what I'm talking about when I talked at the top of the show about the president bringing in the business world. Do you see the way we're all in this together? I'd love to hear from you throughout the show. 800-282-2882. Of course, we'll talk about Biden and Sanders. I want to hear from the American people who are keeping America rolling. Because folks don't get the attention they deserve. God love all of you. It's Todd Herman in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. Well, but breaking news. The president says he's invoking the Defense Production Act. Todd Herman in for Rush Limbaugh. We'll talk about what that act is, what it does next hour. We've been talking to people on the front lines who are keeping America ticking and going. And Lisa is in Denver, Colorado. She joins us on Rush's
Hello.
Program. Hi, Lisa.
How are you?
Doing great. So you're the wife of a truck driver. Tell us about that.
I'm sitting in the truck right now. We're driving near Denver.
Yeah.
I've been in the truck with him for 4 years, ever since, well, he had a heart attack a couple years ago, so I won't not let him ride alone ever now.
Yeah.
Got to keep my eye on him.
So, yeah, busy delivering, and there are these regulations that have been lifted, but apparently your husband, you guys are still having to live within these regulations. That is limiting the amount of time he can drive, correct?
Well, here's the thing. We do oversized, so what we haul is not going to be an immediate for the release. And he did not lift the regulations for all truck drivers. In order for you to be exempt from the hours of service, you must be hauling direct relief. That's something that will help the coronavirus, whether it be the groceries to the grocery store, medical supplies, testing supplies, or if you're a bus driver, if you're hauling doctors or people that are getting quarantined, that kind of thing.
Got it. Okay. So that makes sense. I got it. And I'm guessing these companies don't want to be sued. So they're also, even the companies doing the vital stuff, so-called, they're not lifting that. And we're really short on time. I appreciate you calling in. Stay safe in the truck. Stay safe with the big extra loads. So the Defense Production Act, we'll talk about that next on Rush's show.